If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
8:39, David Allen in for Paul J. He will return on Tuesday. Chris Walton in the studio with me, along with Todd with 1D. This is from the USA Today today. It's an opinion contributor.
I know that's not actually redundant, but it always sounds like
it. Always sounds ridiculously redundant, yes. And it's from Nicholas Burns. No time for Trump to hurtle toward war with North Korea. North Korea's nuclear weapons challenge is as serious a crisis an American president has faced since the end of the Cold War. That is why President Trump should tread carefully and wisely before hurtling us toward conflict in Asia. Trump is right on the key threat. North Korea's aim to develop a nuclear weapon that could hit the west coast of the U.S. and Canada is unacceptable. We know enough about the criminal regime in Pyongyang to be clear about our own bottom line. We can't allow it to blackmail our country for years to come. Before the Trump administration decides to confront Pyongyang's menacing young leader, Kim Jong-un, however, it should take time to deepen the U.S. strategic position on the Korean Peninsula for the struggle ahead. There is much Washington must now do. Trump should strengthen the U.S. military presence in South Korea and Japan to meet our defense commitments to both allies. He should continue to invest in missile defense systems to protect the U.S. homeland. He should enlist the political support of Australia, New Zealand, India, Singapore, and others, including our NATO allies, to isolate North Korea as the instigator and threat to peace. Most important, Trump must continue to make North Korea the focal point of our relationship with China. President Xi Jinping has significant influence on Kim through Beijing's food and energy exports to Pyongyang, but he is reluctant to use it. Trump can make it crystal clear to Xi that U.S.-China relations will sink or swim on this key issue. As the world's two strongest countries, strange to say that, because growing up, it was Russia and us,
yeah,
the Soviet Union.
Well, you know, when we were small, China was isolated.
Yes. As the world's two strongest countries, we should coalesce to manage this threat together. Should China not help us, Trump could retaliate with a potent but risky option, the imposition of American secondary sanctions on Chinese and other companies that did business with North Korea. Beijing needs to understand that the North's threat against the U.S. is for us existential.
Okay.
For such a complex strategy to work, Trump will need to slow down and think carefully with his senior advisors about how to carry it out successfully. War is not imminent. There is no reason for the U.S. to launch a preemptive strike against North Korea. This is no time to hurtle toward a war that could quickly spin out of control. There is a better and much smarter path ahead. As we strengthen our military position, Trump should also commit to a diplomatic initiative to contain Kim's nuclear program. Here's where the president's own behavior will be so important. Rather than mimicking Kim's shrill and bombastic threats, Trump should adopt more the upright, tough, and determined demeanor that Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Ronald Reagan all exemplified as the most dangerous moments of World War II and the Cold War. There is a reason why all our nuclear age presidents since Dwight Eisenhower have stopped short of threatening the use of nuclear weapons. We want to retain the moral high ground and rally the rest of the world against an international outlaw, and we want to make sure deterrence is clear and credible. What do you think of that, Chris Walton?
I didn't see a whole lot in that that was terribly controversial.
I didn't either, and it seemed pretty level-headed without showing any weakness on our side.
Essentially, the guy who wrote this, he was giving advice to the president and advice to Congress and Washington. And the only thing he said basically not to do was, when Kim says something, stupid, don't say something stupid back.
Yeah. And the thing that I got, and this was from yesterday, even our conversation off the air, when he said we need to get New Zealand, Australia, and everybody on board, is when I saw yesterday where most of the world leaders, including Australia and New Zealand's prime ministers, were all saying his Trump's rhetoric was out of bounds and ill-advised. So I don't know that we can get
You know, and I don't know whether it is or not.
I don't either.
It kind of depends on the reaction that he gets from the other countries. There are people who think he's absolutely wonderful because, you know, he's not sitting still when there's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, people say, you know, why, you know, if a lion roars at you, you don't crawl into the cage with it and tell it off. But on the other hand, this isn't a lion.
No,
this
exactly.
This is a relatively small country. However, one that we recently found out does have nuclear devices, mm-hmm. which kind of, you know, makes one have at least a little bit of pause. And they also demonstrated that they have an ICBM. Another thing that would give you a little bit of pause, especially when they combine the two. However, there have been generals and there have been intel people who have said that they are still a few years away from combining the two and having a working model that would actually go up in the air and come down in one piece.
And I saw this morning just a headline on CNN while we were sitting here doing the show that said North Korea's plan was to fire missiles at Guam and have them land 15 to 25 feet away in the water. Basically, just to say, we can get there if we want to.
Okay, but you would have to have pretty good aim to miss the beach by 25 feet.
Yeah.
And if you miss the beach by 25 feet on the other side of the beach, there's going to be a big problem.
Yeah. And I guess at the end of the day, does it matter what Australia, New Zealand, and all those countries think of us? Hang on.
Okay.
The rhetoric that Trump says, as much as it does what Kim Jong-un thinks of the rhetoric and whether he believes everything that's coming out of Washington.
Okay.
If Kim Jong-un believes us and Trump and says, right. Ooh, I better not do anything because unholy hell will be unleashed on me, that's more important to me than whether the prime minister of New Zealand thinks that Trump's out of bounds.
Gotcha.
So that's why I wanted to finish that thought.
Okay. We need to go to traffic, but when we come back,
all right,
I will have another thought.
All right. 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. What do you think of that opinion piece out of the USA Today? And if you think the time for diplomacy is gone and now it's just all out Armageddon. 847, let's check our last.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
It's nuclear. From The Simpsons, I'm kidding. 851 now at 670 KBOI. We're talking about North Korea's threat to Guam and the United States.
At least you're aware.
The rhetoric between both sides from both Pyongyang and D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this is... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, I'm looking...
No, you're fine.
I'm looking at that cat from the ball game.
You watch the cat and the guy getting bit by the cat.
Yeah, that looks exactly like the previous one that happened several years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, getting back to what we were talking about.
Okay.
That whole editorial that you read from USA Today and the comments that you made afterward indicated that the president needs to begin doing is create even tighter friendships with a whole bunch of countries around the world that are currently our allies.
Yes.
And sort of in the first 200 days or so, that's not exactly what he's been doing. Now, I will defer to anyone who thinks that the whole problem in the country is simply the fact that the media reports what he says.
Yeah.
Because, like, for instance, yesterday we had Congressman Labrador on, and you asked him about North Korea, and he said the whole problem with North Korea is that the media overreacts to everything. And I thought, you know, it's probably not, but let's move on. And then we talked about Harmon Killebrew and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so if that's what you think, then that's fine. And I understand why you think that way, and that's where some people are. And like I said, I've been told many times what a genius Trump is, and that's fine. I'll go for that. Like, for instance, when he was at the NATO meetings and he wanted, you know, first of all, the G30, right?
Yes.
He wanted to pull out of the Paris Accord.
Mm-hmm.
And other countries said, yeah, okay, well, fine. Well, you know, and immediately Angela Merkel said, you know, we're not going to deal with Trump much anymore. We think he's kind of a buffoon and stuff like that. And he talked about NATO being an outdated thing.
Mm-hmm. They needed to pay their fair share.
And of course, you know, we originally got into NATO to keep Germany, from starting another world war,
because
they'd done it twice. And in between them, we didn't do enough about, you know, the first time.
They didn't have a good history. Exactly.
Exactly. But what we did is we created these allies. And the good thing about NATO is that if we are attacked, now, not if we start a war somewhere or not if we go in and help some other country in the Middle East, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
No.
We will be joined by a lot of our allies who feel the same way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But NATO is so if we or anybody in NATO gets attacked, everybody else in NATO is at war with the country that did the attacking.
Attack one, attack all.
Okay, and you can't really spend your first 200 days in office, as far as I'm concerned, either deliberately or not deliberately, alienating other countries. And it doesn't matter who I'm talking about. It could be Mexico. It could be Australia. It could be anybody. But, you know, diplomacy really isn't completely his thing. I mean, he goes about things more in a defiant way, like, you know, either you do this or we'll do this and don't bet we won't. Now, whether that works or not, that's fine. I mean, and it's not the way past presidents have done it, but a lot of people didn't like Obama and didn't like a single thing he did when it came to foreign policy. And they thought part of the reason was he was way too diplomatic about things instead of just saying what he meant. On the other hand, that's not the way Trump is. So maybe this will work better. I don't know. However, it just seems to me that in a situation like this, this is the exact situation where you could be attacked by somebody who is supposed to be crazy. And if you do, you could be on your own for the most part. However, we still do have allies. So,
yes. Here's the thing I like about any president.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Clinton, Bush, Nixon, Reagan,
Washington.
Obama, Washington, Lincoln.
Okay.
I like a president that puts the United States first and understands the greatness of this country.
Okay.
That says, well, you know what?
That is pretty big on Trump's list.
Yes, right? It is.
Okay.
That says, hey, you know what? We're the United States of America. We're the greatest country in the world. And I really don't care what Albania thinks, or I really don't care what.
Okay.
Now, okay. I want him to have that attitude. But at the same time, like you say, try not to isolate or alienate everybody. There's a way to do it. And okay, I don't know that Trump can't do it. Or if he can, because it's like we talked about yesterday, how successful he was in business doesn't always translate to politics.
Yeah, and exactly. Well, and like the first thing he did, like on the first couple of days he was president, is he pulled out of the proposed Trans-Pacific deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is great, except that there were a whole bunch of farmers in Middle America who were going to make a great deal of money off of it, and now they're not. And so, you know, for the most part, he said, we're not getting a good deal. I want to make new deals and all this sort of thing. And so he's saying, let's cancel everything that happened in the last 8 years. And a lot of that's impractical.
National news comes up. Then local news with Rick. We'll be back after that on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:06. It's Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton along with David Allen. And found an interesting article about a booming business.
Okay.
This kind of related to what we were talking about the last half hour. Michael Schuyler, the owner of a place called the Disaster Supply Store.
Okay.
Now, it says San Rafael, but I was told by somebody in California it's actually San Rafael, that that's the way they pronounce it down there.
I believe it's San Rafael.
Okay,
yes.
San Rafael. Anyway, Sunny San Rafael, as Shel Silverstein said. It's called the Disaster Supply Store. Normally, he specializes in survival kits for stuff like natural disasters, in particular in that area, earthquakes.
Sure.
Or storms. But he says in recent weeks, he has had some customers ask about preparations for a nuclear attack.
Nuclear attack.
Yes, exactly. Schuyler's advice is the same for both. If you're at ground zero, no amount of preparation is going to help.
Well, thanks for that.
For instance, if you're in the middle of the hurricane, you know, good luck to you.
Yeah.
But if you're in an area that is spared, you will need water, food, light, and a way to get information. For instance, a radio, which I recommend. But then again, you know, what's in it for me?
That's what we do. Exactly.
Exactly. Schuyler has seen a small uptick in interest following the latest saber rattling, if you will, from North Korea. He has sold iodine pills to customers to help protect their thyroids from radiation.
No such issues here.
The store also, yeah, exactly. Because yours isn't there anymore.
That's right.
It?
Yes, I'm way ahead of the game.
Yeah, because you had that little procedure.
I had that taken out. Don't need that anymore.
Which was a major procedure. The store also sells digital Geiger counters to measure radiation. Unlike earthquakes, where you may be on your own for 72 hours. In the case of a nuclear attack, you may be on your own for 30 days.
For quite a while, exactly.
And it may take that long for radioactive fallout to dissipate, so they say plan accordingly. Did you see that? Was it the Cloverfield Lane, whatever the...
I never did see that, no, with John Goodman.
Yeah,
I did
John
not.
John Goodman. Anyway, this kind of relates to that, but that was, of course, that was an alien attack. A company that is seeing an increase in business is Southern California's Atlas Survival Shelters. And they're doing this in Japan, too.
Yes.
Right now, people in Japan have started building essentially bomb shelters
mm-hmm.
now. The maker of backyard bomb shelters says nuclear threats between North Korea and the U.S. are driving business. Japanese want them. He says Americans want them. There just aren't enough shelters to go around. That was Ron Hubbard, the owner of Atlas Survival Shelters. Hubbard says his shelters feature air purifiers to scrub away radiation and generators for electricity. Prices range from just under $10,000 all the way up to $50,000.
Wow.
And I think I just decided whether or not to get one.
Exactly. I'll just dig a hole in the ground.
As soon as I heard the word 1,000, I was pretty much out.
50,000 still wouldn't be good for me.
Now, here's a question for you. Do you think those things are... I mean, let's put it this way. In the 50s, people built them. In the 40s and 50s. In the late 40s, basically during the Cold War, people built bomb shelters. And... I'm not going to say it was crazy, because it wasn't crazy at all, simply because, well, people were testing nuclear weapons all over the world. So, and I think we talked about this sometime back, but I said to somebody, now, how many nuclear weapons do you think have actually been exploded in the world?
I know.
since the beginning of nuclear weapons?
Yeah.
And whoever it was said, well, geez, based on the tests I've heard about, it's got to be a few dozen by now. And I said, right, it's 2,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's been a lot.
So, you know, that's a lot of radiation to just be on the planet. But I don't know. Is it crazy? Because it wasn't crazy back then, simply because the U.S. had used two atom bombs
mm-hmm.
to end World War II. And it was kind of expected that at some point somebody would use another one. It's been 72 years, and so far no one has.
Especially as more countries got them.
You know, bulletins as they happen, of course. But so far no one has. And is that a crazy thing to do? Or is it just good to be prepared for anything? If you could have a bomb shelter with easy access to it, would you want one?
I don't think so. And it's because when you were reading all of that, you know, with everything that can scrub this and radiation that
right.
and everything... While there's been 2,000 bombs tested or dropped or exploded.
Well, both actually, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are underground.
I don't know that anybody really is well aware of what the fallout will do, because bombs have become so much more powerful, so much more sophisticated
since the ones on Hiroshima
and Nagasaki.
Exactly. The ones now are considerably more powerful than those.
So to say, oh, well, this bomb shelter can withstand, you know, the same bomb that dropped in Nagasaki. Well, we don't have those anymore. We have much powerful bombs.
However, if one hits, you know, far enough away.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you it's like the guy said, if you take a direct hit, well.
Well, you're done if you take a direct hit, obviously.
Too bad, so sad. But
and it becomes one of those things to where if depending on the magnitude of everything, is that something you really want to survive?
Well, yeah. I was going to go with Surviving is very important to me.
But apparently
not enough to spend money on, but it is something I think I would prefer to do, you know, even if it were unpleasant later, I'd still probably be alive.
Do you remember that movie back in...
I don't know. To me, this is...
77, The Day After?
I do remember that. Wasn't that 81? But anyway.
I remember it
was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. It just seemed like everybody who survived was worse off than everybody who died. And
wasn't that like Lawrence, Kansas or someplace?
Someplace like that, yeah.
Yeah, where they supposedly had a nuclear attack. Still can't figure out exactly why they hit there. Oh, it was 83? Okay.
It was 83.
All right.
And it just seemed like with the radiation poisoning and with... You didn't know what foods were good and what foods were bad, and you were having to scrounge around and forage like a caveman. I just don't know that I can survive without DirecTV. So,
or your iPad or whatever.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, I don't know that I want to. I don't know. I understand that living is really cool and a big deal. I just don't know that I want to live in that kind of world.
I just flashed on Homer Simpson, somebody saying, okay, you'll have to scrub everything. Oh, scrub everything.
No. Yeah. And so don't. I don't know if I want to live in that world. I honestly don't.
Okay.
Because I wonder sometimes, you know, in my lifetime, there's been a lot of talk of World War III just because of everything going on.
Sure. Mine too.
And exactly. And when, I sometimes wonder.
When we were in grade school, I mean, you know, I never experienced the whole duck and cover thing.
Yes.
Because I think by the time I was in grade school, they knew that that would have been futile. You know, your desk is not going to help you in a nuclear attack.
Yeah, I never had to worry about that in 66.
However, they did. They used to send home things that would say what the school's responsibility would be in case of an emergency of that sort.
Yep.
And that used to scare the heck out of us because they'd send it home with us first graders. Those of us who could read it.
Exactly, yeah. I guess the thing is that, you know, World War One. Enough countries got together to stop Germany. Mm-hmm. World War II, enough countries got together to stop Germany and Japan.
And Japan and Italy, yeah.
I don't know in World War III, with as many nuclear weapons as there are, if there are enough people to stop enough fallout to where it's a perpetual motion machine. Yeah. You know, it's like a slinky going down the stairs. And it's just when it starts, I don't know when it stops.
Okay, this isn't going to be serious, but I just thought about all the really cool movies that are made about a post-apocalyptic, like Mad Max.
Yep.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to hang around and see that stuff?
I don't think I would.
Okay, well.
I don't think I would. It seemed bad because
it probably wouldn't be that cool.
That anymore. Humongous guy had a mask on, and he scared me because he was way too ripped. 9:15.
Yeah, but Mad Max still won.
Well, that's true. 2 days ago, I saw a tanker that'll get that vehicle out of here. You want to get out of here? You talk to me. That's my Mad Max impersonation.
You're right. Maybe we shouldn't survive.
Yes, exactly. 9:15. You're listening to 670 KVOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KVOI.
9:21 now at 670 KVOI. KVOI rewards code radiation. R-I-R-A-D. I-A-T-I-O-N. Sorry, I almost spelled that wrong. Yeah. R-A-D-I-A-T-I-O-N. Radiation. Go to KBOI.com. Enter the keyword radiation. Get your 5,000 rewards points, and you'll also get a bomb shelter.
Well, you might.
Yeah, if you have, you know, $50,000.
Okay.
I have another, and just because I like to kind of give both sides sometimes, I have another opinion piece here.
Okay.
And this one is from Anthony Ruggiero. Says, the nuanced diplomatic rhetoric out of Washington the past 8 years has failed to convince Pyongyang that the United States will prohibit North Korea from becoming a nuclear power.
Kind of the point I was making. I said there are plenty of people who they don't mind a single thing that Donald Trump tweets or that he says. You know, it's like I said, if you go on Fox News, they think, oh, that was brilliant. And if you go on MSNBC, they say, oh, that was stupid. And like I said, I don't mean to indicate that CNN is somewhere in the middle. They're not. I just don't watch them nearly as much because, I don't know, they tend to irritate me.
A common misconception is that tough sanctions on North Korea are already in place. The fact is the restraints on Pyongyang pale in comparison with those on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Critics and supporters of the 2015 deal agree that sanctions were the main driver that brought Iran to the negotiating table. If the Trump administration wants to change North Korea's behavior, it should look to the Iran sanctions playbook. Our sanctions have to be at least as tough as they were on Iran, or even tougher.
Okay, I was going to say time. Give me just a second here, because one reason that I've heard that it's difficult to convince North Korea of anything with sanctions is simply because you're talking about a regime that routinely starves their own people to make a point.
Yeah. Yeah, if you limit stuff to North Korea, they're not going to care because their people will die anyway.
We'll gladly sacrifice everyone just to, you know, okay.
I have a sneeze.
It's like how we, you know, everybody said right after 9/11. They said, you know, before 9/11, if you said somebody hijacked a plane and you were on the plane, I mean, you were nervous about what was going on because you didn't want them to be one of the, you know.
You didn't know what country you were going to land in.
Yeah, you didn't know what country you were going to land in. You didn't know if you'd be in the Soviet Union or in Cuba or where you'd be, because when people hijacked planes, they weren't doing it so they would die.
No.
And then all of a sudden in 9/11, these guys hijacked the planes and sacrificed themselves and you know, four plane loads of people.
Yep.
And we thought, well, that's so illogical that we never even thought of it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people had thought of it, but not the average person.
No. The key aspect of the Iran sanctions model was that it forced companies, individuals, banks, and governments to make a choice. Continue doing business with Iran or join the U.S. efforts. The approach worked around the world as banks and companies, and eventually governments, curtailed or eliminated business with Iran. To be as tough on North Korea as it was on Iran, America should move aggressively against the Chinese banks that are integral to North Korea's sanctions evasion efforts. That includes targeting the Chinese individuals, banks, and front companies that play a crucial role in enabling North Korea to evade sanctions.
Yeah.
Recent disclosures show that from 2009 to 2017, North Korea used Chinese banks to process at least $2.2 billion through the U.S. financial system.
Wow.
That is likely the tip of the iceberg.
That's terrible.
I know.
And yet I can see how it happens.
Some policymakers argue that China is immune to pressure from abroad, yet there are already strong indications that it will bend when facing the right kind of pressure.
And I can tell you right now, I mean, I'm not a big businessman or anything like that, but if I were and I had a business and somebody said, we want to invest a whole bunch of money in you, my first question would not be, well, where did you get it?
No, exactly. Exactly. Jim in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Morning. Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm still radiation-free.
Nice.
Except all right. For the sun, I guess. But, you know, as far as the bomb shelters go, back in the 50s, you know, I always thought, I mean, you know, there was that fever going around, and of course, a lot of people didn't have bomb shelters. I always thought, what good would it be to come out if you were the only one, you know, over and above the radiation, you know, it's on the beach, if you saw that movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, over and above things being bad for you, what good would it be if everybody else was dead?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I was just going to say the old Kim Jong-un or whatever, he could be the ultimate suicide bomber. All he's got to lose is himself, and he could take pretty much the world with him.
And, you know, thanks for the call, Jim. And like Chris was just saying, you know, he has no problem sacrificing all of his people.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are an awful lot of people in North Korea that live in, and some are born in what amount to labor camps, mm-hmm. work camps, and concentration camps, where they are ruled with an iron fist, and they really don't know any other way of life exists outside those camps.
And I saw a picture this morning that showed a bunch of people out rallying for Kim and
Jong-un,
saying,
yeah,
and saying against Donald Trump. And I thought, you people just don't know. They don't know any different. Their whole life has been under this dictator, and they don't know all the things they're missing out on or all the things they don't have.
And they don't
so
care.
It's easy to, and they don't care, because if you don't know what you don't have,
hey, who's
then
got
you
it,
don't know what you don't have.
Who's got it better than you? Oh, it turns out everyone.
Exactly. But to them, nobody. 9:26 News with Rick is next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
9:37, David Allen, Chris Walton with you. This also from the USA Today. You get all kinds of information from the interwebs. If North Korea fires missiles toward Guam, they would take about 14 minutes to reach the island.
Oh, wow.
The spokeswoman for the Guam Homeland Security Council said. Residents would be immediately notified by the 15 all hazards alert warning system located in low-lying areas throughout the island. And then you realize you've got 14 minutes.
Wow.
That's not much.
Yeah.
208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Jason and Star, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. The conversation this morning kind of reminds me of a few years back, just all the funny stuff I used to talk to you about guys back in Oregon about apocalypse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick of stressing over it because I couldn't afford to prep and I had to work. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just have to die. But
I got other things to do. Yeah.
We can't even afford it, right?
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not, you know what? Maybe I'm just too chill. I'm not even worried in the least bit. Even if things go a little south, I think their stuff is a joke compared to ours. So our success rate on dealing with them is high. Theirs doing something to us is kind of low. But you guys already said he might be the ultimate fanatical suicide bomber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's kind of a big, goofy kid in a way. And I don't mean it to delegitimize him, but it looks to me he might have already predetermined, regardless of our diplomacy, he wants to play with his toys. He lives in a weird world where he only hears yes, and he may be thinking, I want to do the next best thing. You know, I want to get my toys out. I want to test them. And maybe he wants a predetermined kind of clandestine clash with the U.S., and he doesn't care what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, Jason. Thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in. And let me make it clear, I'm with Jason. I'm not losing any sleep at night over this. I'm really not. I'm not staying awake, tossing and turning, going, oh, what if Kim Jong-un?
I'm not losing any in the mid-afternoon either.
Yeah, so. and my appetite's fine and everything.
Right.
But
clearly so is mine.
Since the Cold War ended, this is probably the biggest saber-rattling that at least has seemed like a credible threat next to an Al-Qaeda or an ISIS, from a country, I mean.
Yeah, and regardless of what, I mean, and, you know, like Congressman Labrador said yesterday, this is not that much different from things we've heard out of North Korea for the last, you know, 30 or 40 years. Simply because they're always, you know, bragging about, we're going to, you know, take down everybody. But this is the first time that a U.S. president ever basically matched them threat for threat.
Yes.
You know, because he said that thing about, you know, there will be fire and fury coming down. And that, you know, that's not even a veiled threat. That's just, you know, you mess with us and basically we will use serious nuclear weapons against you. It's what it sounds like. You know, I don't think he meant, you know, we'll throw a match on something.
Well, and there have obviously been other countries who have tried to saber rattle. This guy seems, and Kim Jong-un seems more unhinged than even his father, who I thought was really unhinged, and even more so than his grandfather. It's like with each generation, they become a little bit crazier. And I honestly, like Jason was just saying, he could be the biggest suicide bomber ever in the fact that he doesn't mind everybody in North Korea dying for what he believes in.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that kind of person is hard to deal with.
And, of course, we're dealing in could-bes and you know, might-bes and stuff like that. But
that's essentially
what intelligence and the military and all that do anyway. They prepare for possibilities.
Yep, exactly.
H.G. McCall says, those bomb shelters that we were talking about, they had an air pipe into them. Yes, the same air that would be full of radiation. So those bomb shelters served as tombs for the family, too. Or would have, were they necessary.
Just cooking everybody inside there. Like a brisket.
Dave Boise said, first of all, has anybody stopped to think the 2,000 nuclear detonations has something to do with global warming? And the answer to that, Dave, is yes.
Yes.
I would not want to live in a world after a nuclear war breaks out. The truth is no one actually knows what it will be like after the bombing has stopped. I would rather die fast than dragging it out for years on a messed up planet. Does anybody know if the nuclear plant in Japan is still spewing nuclear waste directly into the ocean?
I don't think Fukushima still is. Yeah, I don't know that for a fact, but I don't think it is. They found a unexploded World War II bomb from the United States the other day on the grounds.
Wow.
As they were cleaning everything up.
Yeah, but it wasn't nuclear. It was a Japanese. I mean,
it was an American bomb that the U.S. had dropped on Japan at the time. Yeah.
From the Doolittle raids and stuff.
And you know what David said is what I told you earlier. Because you can do all the simulations you want. Well, we think this will happen with this many bombs and this will happen with this many bombs. But since it's never happened before, you don't know if any of those simulations are true.
This is a good point.
And the unknown of maybe living in not a Mad Max post-apocalyptic world and something much worse is not very appealing to me.
About 3 years ago, a report came out about Fukushima that said there were actually mutant flowers growing.
Really?
Right near the nuclear plant. Like, you know, because flowers were coming up where there had been flowers before.
Yeah.
But there were, like, new strains of flowers and mutant-looking things that they'd never seen before.
An orange fish with three eyes.
And this was posted on Twitter. And I said, the odd part is the flowers themselves posted it on Twitter. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Well played. You win the day.
Yeah, okay. Curtis Boyce, he says, in the words of Humongous, just walk away, David. Just walk away.
Exactly. Okay. Just walk away. You can get your freedom.
Other people have seen the movies as well. Bob says, Chris, if David survived a nuke attack and then decided he didn't want to live like that, I am sure he could find someone who would double tap him in the forehead and put him out of his misery.
Why does it have to be in the forehead? Why can't it be in the back of the head? Come on now.
Well,
I don't want to see it coming.
Okay, well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, you don't want to see it coming. I don't want it to happen. We both, you know, have our hangups, I'm sure.
People like me.
Gary of Emmett says, Dear Chris and David, if we have learned anything from the past, North Korea goes to war with two allies. During the Korean War, North Korea flew Russian MiG fighters. Sometimes they were actually flown by Russian pilots. Tens of thousands of Chinese infantry backed up the North Koreans and fought against the United Nations troops and United States troops in land warfare. Iran has been giving North Korea cash to continue weapons research. Anything North Korea has is available to Iran. Russia is backing Iran in Middle Eastern conflicts. It may be that if North Korea is provoking war with the United States, they are imagining three allies, Iran, Russia, and China. If North Korea actually hit the United States with a nuke, would Russia, China, and Iran take advantage of the situation? Has anyone seen North Korea's Kim Jong-un ever speak when China is drinking water? Okay, that's funny. Look at the world. There are potentially four nuclear nations arrayed against us: Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. There are two nations we know have nukes that cannot be counted on to be on either side: Pakistan and India.
Mm-hmm.
We have three nuclear-equipped allies: France, England, and Israel. Could we count on France or England going to nukes to defend us? Israel is the only ally certain to use their nukes. They depend on us for their existence.
Yeah, I don't know how many people we could rely on that.
And again, and there again, I mean, you know, adding more nuclear bombs to the whole thing, you know, would that really solve the problem or just make more problems?
9:45, Mike in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think the number of nuclear weapons North Korea has is estimated at 20.
Okay.
So they only need one, though, because they're actually acting like terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They got one out here on us, or Japan, South Korea. It would be one of the greatest acts of terror ever committed. However, it would not lead to widespread nuclear annihilation of the entire Earth. Because all those nations that what you just read wouldn't have signed the sanctions against North Korea if they were then going to join them in a world war. So Russia's would back us. China
right.
already has. And so I don't think we're going to have that. And I think it was Donald J. Trump who said, hey, what do you have nuclear weapons for if you're not going to use them? So, you know, that kind of puts him in the same category as Kim Jong with saying things that make you wonder about his mental stability. So I think we have two leaders snarling at each other, and hopefully there's a wall on both sides that would stop them from costing hundreds of thousands of lives, especially in South Korea, which would include about 30,000 American troops who are stationed there around Seoul and in some in southern Korea, and also all the American expatriates that are living in Korea, and there's a large number of them.
Sure. All right, Mike. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
20. Remember 20.
Okay.
I only have 20.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. 20. That still seems like 20 too many.
But he's got a good point there. The reason we have nuclear weapons, the reason most countries who have them do have them, is simply because other countries do.
Yes.
And it would be like the same reason you have a gun in your house. If somebody comes into your house with a gun, you have a gun.
Yeah.
And the fact that they might know that you have one means they won't come into your house with a gun. I mean, there's always going to be somebody illogical that decides they're going to use it anyway.
Sure. As a deterrent, though, it's not a bad thing. 9:47, you're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
9:52 now at 670 KBOI. Just about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show. Chris, David, and Todd with 1D here with you.
Instant message here from Bob. He says, Chris, and then he wrote, sarcasm button on.
Uh-oh, okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Trump should say, we have nukes, but we will never use them. Sarcasm button off. And he says, that would put the S in stupid.
Yes.
That'd be like saying, you know, I have a gun in my house, but I don't have any bullets.
Yeah.
But don't ever, you know, don't ever try to rob me because I could, like, hit you with it.
The stuff I've read today from intelligence reports and generals and everybody say that North Korea is planning for a middle of August show of force, whatever that might be.
Well, and this is the whole problem, I think, with all of this talk about, you know, we're going to get you and we're going to rain fire on you and all this sort of thing, is they do a missile test like they've been doing, And don't we have to take that as a launch?
Yes, 100%. We have to take that as a launch.
And so Japan and South Korea and the United States and
Thailand
and all these people have to try and shoot
Taiwan
this down and then retaliate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've basically created a situation now where it's like a Mexican standoff, where everybody's pointing the gun at everybody else, like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, you're just waiting for somebody to pull the trigger.
And if somebody pulls the trigger, we're all
then
going
it
to
all
die.
Goes
yeah.
exactly
right.
And I just I never thought at the time the Iranian president was crazy enough to do anything. I thought he was big and blustery, but
but he's not the Ayatollah.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought at the end of the day, it was all just talk, and I didn't have to think, X, Y, and Z is happening. But with this guy, it's all the unknown. It's the fact that he could literally disband his military tomorrow if he wanted to, just on a whim. He won't do that, but he could, because you just don't know. He's so unpredictable. And that's what everyone will tell you is never get in a fight with anybody who's crazy.
Well,
because you don't know what they're going to do.
How do you know when they're crazy? And,
it's basically A. Well, usually if guys are going to get into a fight, you pump up your chest and you talk and everything.
But you never actually
throw a punch. The crazy person is like breaking a bottle on the table. Yeah.
And he doesn't. And usually the ones who are ready to fight don't ever bother to threaten.
Yeah. No, they just go at it. And so that person's always
it's like what
crazy.
I've always said about bomb threats. How many times has there been a bomb threat and then a bomb actually went off?
Very rarely.
Because when a bomb actually goes off, there was no indication that it was going to happen.
Yes.
And people are always like, I should have seen the signs. Well, you didn't, because most people will never set off a bomb.
Yeah. And they call in afterwards to say, that bomb that just hit, that was us.
Yeah.
They don't ever call in beforehand.
We'd like to take credit for that.
Yeah.
Except for the guy that set it off, of course.
Yeah. They never call in beforehand and say, by the way, we're going to take credit in 20 minutes when a bomb goes off. No, they never say that.
Yeah.
So.
And besides, the ones who really want to cause destruction don't want the place cleared out of people.
No, exactly.
It's not the building they're after.
No. No, not at all. Not at all. So, all right. 9:56. Rush Limbaugh comes up next. We got national news, local news. Then Rush will be here. Obviously, all the latest on the North Korean Washington thing. Then Michael Savage will be on at 1 o'clock. We'll also discuss it. And Nate this afternoon, starting at 3, we'll take your local conversation regarding topics locally and nationally. It's a weird time. It's a really weird time with all the unknowns.
I bet he likes that Mets Indians trade.
Yeah, I bet he does. He'll talk about that probably for an hour. Chris and I will be back tomorrow. It'll be Friday. The mayor's going to be on with us tomorrow at 8:30. You're listening to 670 KBOI.